This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Swanee Jett, Chief Executive Officer at Park Duval Community Health Center. Dr. Jett, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I'm looking forward to our discussion. I am excited to learn more about what you're doing at the health center and really how you're thinking about growth and development in the next few years. But before we dive into that discussion, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Thank you for asking. So I've been the chief executive officer here now a little bit over 2.5 years. And prior to that, I have been a health commissioner in three different communities. My primary background was epidemiology and public health. But I have worked in Bullock County Health Department, Seminole County, Florida, and also Brookline, Massachusetts. So I have a wealth of knowledge and governmental health care, but also now in the private sector.
Well, that's amazing to hear, and definitely, you know, just fascinating to have that role as the health commissioner. What did you learn during that time that you now bring into your position as the chief executive officer of the health center? What was really valuable to you?
You know, that's a great question. Since I've been trained in public health, I have a different experience about healthcare. I look at upstream approaches to improving individual's health. Most time, you treat a person, you just treat the individual and you send them back to the community they live in. But I realized early in my career that sometimes I would treat a patient that might have had asthma or they might have had some type of chronic disease such as diabetes, but I was sending them back to neighborhoods that couldn't help reduce the amount of impact on a person's health. So, you know, now running the healthcare agency, even though my primary focus is always take care of the patient, my secondary approach is always looking upstream and making sure that we ask the right questions of our patients. And then we make sure we're not putting them back into a community or a neighborhood that actually can induce their hardship. And so that's probably the biggest takeaway that I've received over the years.
Well, that's great to hear. And I love the idea of kind of addressing some of these problems upstream. I know that's something that we here at Becker's recently have been just talking a lot more about. And in the healthcare space in particular, it's so important. And so I love that focus and community investment. Now, when you think about the big issues that you're following in healthcare today, what comes top of mind for you?
You know, and I love your report. Take a segment or article out each day. I think probably the biggest issues I'm facing, and I'm sure my counterparts are, is the shortage of staff because I'm in a hotbed. So we're always competing for different positions. You know, and then the other thing, people want to work remote. And it's, you can do that from an administrative standpoint to a certain extent. But it's very difficult to do when you need boots on the ground and people have to attend people and assess. And it looks good for a certain standpoint when you think about mental health and you can assess the patient, but sometimes you really have to meet that patient where they're at. So, you know, that's one of the issues that I'm facing. The labor costs have went up tremendously, which doesn't coincide with high rates of reimbursement. So now we're finding that it's harder to get claims paid. Sometimes it can be delayed 2 or 3 months in reimbursements. And then the reimbursements that we're at now is not paying for the totality of labor costs. And then probably the last issue is, you know, I'm noticing a significant amount of layoffs, which can be attributed to the significant increase in labor costs as well. So you have to play the balancing act. We need to meet the market, but at the same time, we can't drive labor costs so high that we can no longer afford the staff.
That's such a great point and really fine line to walk in terms of, you know, you're right, making sure that, you know, you can have the great talent and great teams and great people, but at the same time, needing to be very mindful of what the preferences are and what you really need, if you need people to be on site, or is really, kind of some of the challenges around labor in some of the costs associated with that. So it certainly is a challenging time right now in healthcare and the healthcare space in particular to build a great workforce. Is there anything that you're doing right now that to really build up or address some of those issues?
Well, that's funny that you mentioned it. So, I've done a market analysis. That is one. I've tried to change incentives that we offer, but I think it boils down to culture and what do we have to offer. So, I'm trying to promote a work-life balance so that people don't feel that they have to work, 60 hours a week, but maybe you can carve out a life that I can give you 40 hours a week, or maybe I can offer, especially for my senior staff, you don't need to come in for 4 days a week. You can have Fridays off. Unfortunately for me, I do a lot of night meetings, so I really don't have that luxury, but I do have the flexibility to leave at 3 o'clock and go to do something else. So I can work remote a little bit, or sometimes if I have a lot of meetings and I might find my time spending a little bit more remote work. And I think for employees, it's just trying to create that environment where people are happy. I do a lot of incentives, lunch, trying to ensure we have events for staff. Those things help in terms of recruitment. But one of the other factors I should add is that we also have a structure where we do tuition reimbursement, and we can actually help if we have a staff person that comes in that might only have experience in registration or medical assistant. We are trying to put in programs that would help pay their tuition until they can become an ATRN. So those are some significant changes with group. And also loan repayment. That's another, I would say, challenge, but it's another carrot that we can offer to people to actually join us.
That's great to hear. And certainly, I think will make a big difference when people are looking at, their career choices and where to build and grow now. Too, I'm wondering when you look into the future, what are you most excited about and what makes you nervous?
Well, what makes me excited? The same thing that makes me excited makes me nervous. And that is the usage of AI in healthcare. It has great potential. But I'm a little bit nervous in terms of ensuring that it won't replace people, that it would be ironclad and there'd be no attacks in terms of ransomware. I'm also concerned about, you have to be concerned about HIPAA as well. So that's at the top of my list in terms of I'm excited and I'm nervous about it at the same time.
Absolutely. AI is definitely something that seems to be changing quickly and evolving quickly, and it tips on many people's tongues in terms of, like you said, being a potential tool and to be able to leverage it in the right ways, but then also mitigating some of those risks involved with it, and certainly continuing to build the great teams. And I know healthcare in particular is such a human-focused interaction and relationship-based business. I can imagine that, ideally, AI wouldn't be replacing those strong relationships that really are essential to building community and building health as well.
The interesting thing that I look at AI, I've seen people use it in terms of billing, claim submission, workflow. That I think will end up replacing people at some point. I'm a little curious in terms of how would it be used in surgery and other aspects. And I think we need to be more careful about that.
That's an excellent point, absolutely. It will make a big difference for sure. Now, before we wrap up here, I'm wondering, we've talked a lot about some of the different changes that are happening in the healthcare space and for you at the health center in particular. What do you see as being important for most effective healthcare leaders to be successful over the next 2 to 3 years or so?
You know, that's a good question. I think in order for us to be most effective as healthcare leaders in the future is, you know, how do we manage our changing workforce? You know, everybody has different requirements now in terms of work-life balance. What I mean by that, you know, we do interviews, and what we're finding out, sometimes people don't show up for interviews. Well, sometimes people might come in and work for a day, or they have something else that they want to do. The commitment from the labor force now is different than in 2019. And so how do we effectively manage that over the next several years? I don't know. But I think we need to constantly look at how we deal with the change in workforce, how we continue to foster growth, innovation in our operations. And then the last part is, you know, how do we work together to improve the community overall? Because my objective has always been centered around population health approaches and improving individuals' lives and their communities in which we serve. So I don't just want to serve the individual that walks our door as a member, but actually how can I improve their community? Because we're faced a lot of challenges from our patients, from food insecurity to not enough insurance coverage to major surgery for cancer. And we have to be able to navigate that in an effective way in the future.
Absolutely. That's such a great point. Dr. Jett, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been such a fun and interesting conversation, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
All right. Thank you. You have a great day. Thanks for having me on.